Well, hey, I'm Chuck Mingo, and like Greg, I'm a volunteer around here, one of many who really dig in this place and love just being a part of what God's doing here. And so it's always great when I get a chance to come and spend some time up here kind of sharing what I've been learning. And today is one of those examples of just how, call it life is imitating art or art is imitating life, as we continue in our series on hard work and the hard work that it takes to be engaged in authentic relationships today. And that's just something I've been really thinking about a lot and just want to share some of my learnings with you. Because I don't think anybody would argue that we live in a society that is just super connected. I mean, let's count them off. We've got Blackberries, we've got cell phones, we've got Sidekicks, we've got iPods, we've got all kinds of stuff online. We're just super connected as a society. As a matter of fact, I want to do a quick kind of cultural pulse check here. And if you're in here right now and you have a connectivity tool, a cell phone, a Blackberry, something like that, I just want you to take it out and I want you to just kind of hold it up in the air. Just take them out, hold them up in the air. We got Blackberries here. I see some cell phones. I see kind of the Vio things that are kind of a mix of both. We got all kinds. Just take a look around at all of the different connectivity tools that are in here right now. And before you put them away, make sure your ringers are on silent. That's your public service announcement for the day. But I think, you know, and I'm just as guilty as the next person. I mean, we are just super connected with all of these tools that we have, but do they really help us build relationships? Or are they kind of getting in the way? I mean, I'm just as guilty. You know, I just moved into an office environment again at work. And I find myself doing this strange thing of emailing the guy in the cube next to me. Now, you know, he's right next to me, like literally the next cube, but I'm emailing him as opposed to just standing up and having a conversation with him. I think we're all guilty of that. Now, there are some devices, though, that I really haven't gotten into yet. And one of them is the Bluetooth. So I know we've got some Bluetooth users in here, and I'm going to talk about you for a minute because I just can't do the Bluetooth thing. Quite frankly, I'm a little freaked out when I see you use it. Have you had this experience? You're in an elevator or you're just somewhere, and all of a sudden the person next to you just starts having this conversation and they're talking to themselves, and you're like, what in the world is going on? And it's only when they turn around you see the little blue light beeping in their ear that you're like, oh. A Bluetooth user, all right, that explains it. They're a Bluetooth user. So I really haven't gotten into the whole Bluetooth thing. The other reason is because my wife kind of has a pet peeve about Bluetooth, and she hasn't let me buy one. So that's probably a big reason too. But no doubt that we are all just connected through technology in all kinds of new ways today. But in the midst of all of that, the data would suggest that we're not really relating to each other as well as we used to. I was struck by an article that came out, and it was based on a study that was published by a psychologist at Duke University. And the heading of her study is that Americans' circle of close friends is shrinking. She said that over the last 20 years, and that's how long this survey had lasted, that Americans are moving closer to social isolation, moving further away from relationships. And one of the reasons they contribute is that we're replacing human contact for indirect human contact through all the different means that we have. And, you know, the video and even me, I'm making light of our super connectivity, but this one really caused me to take pause because this is not how we've been designed to live. We have not been designed to be in indirect contact, but we're designed to have authentic relationships with people who know us and with people who we know. And when I saw that study, it kind of, you know, it just spoke to me because it's like, man, that breaks God's heart. That as a society, we're moving further away from relationships. And we've been wired to live in relationships. And so I've been doing a lot of my own soul searching on this, and particularly thinking about it through the lens of a close friendship that I have with a guy named Rob Stargell, a guy that I've known for 5 years now. And really just kind of doing the, asking myself the question, am I doing all I need to be intentional about our relationship? And I think that everybody in here can relate to that. And so before we go further, I just want to pray that God would help all of us today to understand what this means for us. So would you join me in a word of prayer? God, there's no doubt that you have created us for relationship. We have all kinds of examples of that as we think about babies and their need for human contact and what happens when they're deprived of human contact. When I think about just, you know, you giving us the ability to have audible sounds that form patterns called language that we can use to connect and relate to each other It's just clear that you've wired us for relationships. And so help us all to be able to take a step back from how we live our lives and really look at this and see if we're being as intentional as you desire us to be to invest in significant relationships in our life. I just pray that you'd guide us and teach us all. Amen. Well, as I've been kind of thinking about this for my own life, the first thing that strikes me is just how important this idea of relationships is to God. You know, in fact, Jesus, when he was on the earth, he said something that was pretty powerful and impactful to the 12 guys who he did life with, the folks that are called his disciples, people who followed him. And in John chapter 13, verses 35, Jesus is spending some time with those 12 disciples, and this is what he says to them. He says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." That love and this one anothering that they're doing would be the defining factor that says these are people who are followers of Christ. And I find that interesting because as you read the story, these guys did some amazing things. I mean, these are guys who, it's recorded, would go into towns and there were people who were dead and they would be raised from the dead. And there's other recordings that say that when they walked into towns, people who were blind regained their sight when they would pray for them, or people who were deaf would regain their hearing. So just amazing things that these guys did. Also, even outside of the Bible, we have recordings of history and how these guys died. And they died some of the most courageous deaths you can imagine. Rather than deny what they believed, rather than go with the status quo, they faced things like being sawed in half. They faced death upside down, being crucified upside down on a cross. Amazing acts of courage. Regardless of where you land on this stuff, amazing acts of courage. But yet, when Jesus is talking to them, he's not saying, "Hey, when people see your amazing courage, that's when they'll know you're my follower." He didn't say to them, "When people see the miracles that you do, then they'll know that you were walking with me." He says the choice to love and be intentional about loving one another and be intentional about relationships, that will be the defining factor of people who follow me. And that's true today. And so I look at that verse and I say, where am I at? Am I being as intentional as I need to, particularly in my relationship with Rob, around this whole one anothering idea? Because love one another is just one of over 50 of these commands that we find that just really encourage relationship in the Bible. And we find these throughout the letters that were written to the new church. Commands like be kind to one another, encourage one another, build up one another. All throughout the Bible, and particularly in the New Testament, these one another commands show up. So clearly this is something that matters to God. And so to really understand my journey and my relationship with Rob, I need to tell you a little bit about our relationship, how we met, and kind of just put some perspective on that. Because I met Rob at a point where I was in desperate need of this kind of one anothering. You see, I met Rob, like I said, about 5 years ago when I first moved to Cincinnati. Like, I was still in transition. Anybody who's ever done like a relocation knows that you get to that point where your stuff is in your hometown, like all your clothes, but then you're working in another town, and so you're kind of living in two worlds. And so I was at that point in my transition, had left family, had left friends, and was really fairly alone. I had some relationships through work, but no close relationships, no close friendships, and I was brand new to the city. And so I was flying home back to Philadelphia for the last time. This was the time when I was going to meet the moving truck, pack up all the stuff, and make the drive over to Cincinnati for good. And so I'm in one of the remote airport parking lots there, and I park my car, and I get out, and I'm standing with my bag. And then another guy, not too far from me, is kind of standing there with his bag. And we all get on this shuttle together. And so, you know, I did the kind of compunctory head nod. You know, that's what guys do. What's going on? We did that. But we actually began to strike up a conversation and found out his name was Rob, that he was from Detroit. Told him I was from Philadelphia. He had been in Cincinnati a couple years longer than I had, and we just kind of hit it off. And so told him where I was going, kind of where I was in the transition process. And he gives me his card, found out we both work for P&G, and he's like, "Man, you got to call me when you get back. Call me, send me an email. We've got to connect." And how many times have you done that? Taken the card or offered the card, and it's like, "Hey, we need to get together. We need to connect." And we never do it. We never do it. You know, some of you did it before you came in here today. Saw somebody here. "Hey, how you doing? Hey, I need to get your information. We need to get together." And you know what? It'll be months, if ever, before you follow up on that. Well, Rob followed up with me. He followed up with me, and we began to hang out. Now, I didn't know this at the time, but I had just met who I like to call the social chair of Cincinnati. Because the guy knows like half the city. I mean, seriously, I bet you there are people in here right now who know Rob Stargell. I bet you there are. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I know there are people in here who know him right now. And he'll be getting these stories about, hey, this guy didn't know you know Chuck, and that's just Rob. So we started to hang out, started to build relationship, meet some folks, and have a good time. And over time, we just begin to connect more. Rob, like me, grew up in the black church, and so we talk about that experience. Rob's a preacher's kid, so he had some stories that were unique to his experience in the church. And we talk about those types of things. We talked about work. We talked about our struggles and all that kind of stuff that we were facing in our careers. And then over time, we got a little bit deeper, kind of went beneath the surface, and began to talk about just really honest conversations about where we were in our faith and what we were learning, where we were being challenged. And over time, really developed a very fruitful friendship. And that's why, as I've been thinking about this idea of relationships and being intentional, I got to tell you, we've been kind of in a funk lately. And it's for all of the legitimate reasons of excuses that we put up there. You know, a lot of change. I moved. I'm in a new job. He's taking on some new work. And, you know, all this kind of stuff's going on. And so we have all these excuses. But the fact of the matter is, I've not been intentional about engaging in the relationship with Rob. But I know that this is what God has for me, and I know that our relationship is one where God has continued to give us mutual encouragement, growth, and challenge. And so how do I change that? How do I engage and do the hard work of relationships when it's so easy to drift to the opposite? I mean, if there's a such thing as a current as it relates to relationships, the current clearly takes us toward isolation. I don't think the current takes us toward connecting. I think it takes choices to connect. And so I've just found that there are some lifestyle choices I need to make in my relationship with Rob in particular if I'm going to really experience the fullness of that relationship. And the first thing that I need to do is be intentional. I need to be intentional in my relationship. And I realized as I was kind of thinking about this that these commands, these one another commands, really speak to these things. They speak to these three choices that I need to make, the first of which is I need to be intentional. And in the book of Hebrews, we find these words in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing." As you read these words, "and let us consider, let us not give up meeting together," it speaks to this idea that we need to be proactive on this. We need to be intentional about connecting. I need to be intentional about connecting with Rob. I need to be proactive about that. Because as I said, the current takes us to the opposite. I'm not a big science guy, but I know people who are big science people, and they told me about this law of entropy and how this really speaks to this whole concept. And the law of entropy basically says that naturally things move from a state of order to the highest state of disorder. That would be the law of entropy. Now, right after the first service, a guy who's an engineer came up to me and even added some additional perspective to that and said one of the other ideas with the law of entropy is that things want to naturally migrate to the area of lowest energy. So if you think about that in the context of relationships, what that says to me is without being intentional, my relationship with Rob will naturally drift toward isolation and it will drift toward less than what it could be if I'm intentional about it. So I've got to make some choices. You know, if I'm honest, oftentimes, Rob has been the first thing to fall off of my schedule. Because he'll understand. He's my friend. You know, I'm busy. Things happen. He'll be cool with that. Not realizing that when I do that, I'm giving into that law of entropy. Because there is an investment and there's an intentionality that it takes to fully engage in relationships. And I need to be about that with Rob. But I just realized that that's a choice I got to make. I got to be intentional about that. The second thing that I've realized is I need to be vulnerable. That if our relationship is going to continue to grow, I need to continue to go to new levels of vulnerability. And I don't think I'm the only one in here who would say that's a tough one. That's a tough one. You know, I think it's extra tough for guys because I think we're just wired with this whole ego thing to kind of not really go there. You know, I realized just how natural that is to men or how I'm kind of perpetuating that. While my nephews were in town, I had my niece and my nephews in town for the last 2 weeks, and my wife and I do that every summer, and my nephew Elijah is 8 years old, and let's say on a Tuesday, I think it was, Elijah had gotten a bruise. He cut himself or did something, and So my wife, being his aunt, you know, kind of gave him TLC, tender loving care, and really helped him through that. And so he was in a good spot, so I thought. Well, on Wednesday, it was kind of like guys' night out, you know. My wife had taken her niece, and they were doing their thing. And I took the guys, and we went to Rock Quest, and we, you know, we were doing guy stuff. Really just good guy stuff. And came back home from that, and we were watching the World Cup, which was, I think, one of the best that I've ever seen. I mean, it was pretty cool. How many people got a chance to catch any of those games? That was cool. So you'll understand what I'm about to tell you, because in the middle of watching the World Cup, it was like at one of those high moments, Elijah, his bruise started bothering him again. And so he comes to me and he said, Tio Chuck, he calls me Tio, which is uncle in Spanish. Tio Chuck, could you help me, you know, maybe put some more of that ointment on my bruise? And so I've got a choice at that point. I was watching the World Cup. So the choice was to get up from the World Cup and help him with his bruise, or I could use this as an opportunity to have a teachable moment with Elijah. Yeah, so I decided to, you know, do the right thing and really teach him a principle that I thought would hold him well as he became a man. And so what I said to Elijah was, I said, you know, yesterday when that happened, you went to TT and TT was really kind and you know, did TLC. But today is about the guys, Elijah. And, you know, the sooner you learn this lesson, the better. Men, suck it up. Men, suck it up. And so what I need you to do is I need you to be strong right now. And I need you to wait until this game is over, and then we'll take care of your bruise. Now, you're laughing. I thought I really was helping him out. I mean, I thought I was giving him something that really could serve him well in his life. You know, would that all uncles would be that kind to take advantage of that teachable moment. So, but what I realized as I thought about that story, and I kind of felt it at the time, but right after, it was like, you know what, I'm perpetuating in him the same thing that keeps me from going to new levels of vulnerability with Rob. But the reality is, if my relationship is going to grow, I got to get past the men suck it up, and I need to begin to be vulnerable in that relationship. And this is spoken about in the Bible around this whole idea of confession. And in the book of James, which is another letter to the new church, these are the words that we find. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Confess. And we hear that word confess. And if you were here a couple weeks ago, we talked about confession and gave people an opportunity to experience confession where you would go in and be able to confess something that maybe you wanted to get off of your chest to someone who didn't know you. And there's a place for that. I realize also there is a place for confessing in the context of a community. And in the context of relationships where you're known. And when I talk about sins, what am I talking about? Just those areas that I know are wrong. Those areas where I know I've been selfish. Those areas where I know I've been less than generous. Those areas where I know I've just chosen something that was totally against what God's desire was. But over time in my relationship with Rob, that part of confession has become easier. First of all, he knows me. So he knows my stuff. And that part has become easier. But I tell you what's still a challenge for me is telling Rob the things that I'm afraid of. Telling him the things that are hurting me. Because men suck it up. And yeah, we all would admit that we have faults and we fall short. But there need to be some places in your life, at least this is how I think as a guy, where you're just handling your business. You're just taking care of what you need to take care of. And you don't need to have any weaknesses in those areas. So I've struggled to tell Rob things like, I'm afraid that I'm maybe not going to make it to the next level at work, that I might not have what it takes. Or I'm afraid to lose the lifestyle that I have right now. Or let me tell you about something that happened that really hurt me to my core. Those things are tough. They're tough to say to Rob. They're even tougher to say in this environment today, but they're hard. But what I know is when I confess those things, as the verse in James says, there's healing that takes place. I think the first level of healing that happens is, as somebody told me, what you hold inside can hold you hostage. And so I think the first level of healing is just the fact that you're letting it out into the light. That's not something that you're keeping inside. But that verse in James goes on to say that then your brother or the person you're in relationship with gets an opportunity to pray for you. And prayer in that verse is one of many examples of how somebody can come alongside and encourage you when you're willing to be vulnerable. Have you had this experience? I've had this experience over and over again. When I'm honest with Rob about something, there's a level of encouragement, sometimes a level of challenge that I get from that. As a matter of fact, a couple weeks ago, we got together again and really were talking about where we were in our relationship. And I had one thing that was kind of on my chest, you know, at the end of kind of catching up and talking about some things. He's like, so what's going on in your life? And I had one thing that I just really needed to kind of get off my chest. And it was about a disagreement that I'd had with my wife. And it was one of those disagreements where I knew I was right. I mean, it was just, as I looked at the situation, it was no doubt that I was right. So I went to Rob and I, you know, laid it out to him. And I said, Rob, what's wrong with her? I mean, clearly, can't you see this? And that was when Rob did what he often does, which is not necessarily go along with me and help me feel good about being right. But he really challenged me. He challenged me to go beyond being right and respond out of love, respond out of grace, not to respond out of just a sense of being right. And that wasn't really what I wanted to hear him say, but that's the kind of vulnerability and honesty that I'm glad that I can have with him, because then I can get back in return something that I needed. And I really needed him to say those things to me. I needed to be challenged to go beyond being right to responding out of love. But this idea of vulnerability in relationships is one that needs to be a lifestyle choice if we're going to have authentic relationships. It's so easy to stay at the surface level. So easy. But we really need to push beyond that. Now, the third thing that I've learned is important for relationships is that I need to be about serving my friends. I need to be about serving Rob. And I can think of no better illustration of this than what Jesus does in that same chapter in John where he talks about the idea of loving one another. Because in a couple of verses before he says that, he does something to those 12 guys that he invested in that really just speaks to this idea of serving your friends like nothing else that I can think of. And we find that in verse 4 where it says this, so he, Jesus, got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Just think about that idea of washing someone's feet. How many of you guys would sign up to wash the feet of the person next to you right now? A couple hands, but not many. Not many. And you know what? I wouldn't raise my hand either. But I think what Jesus did, to really understand the power of that, you have to understand the context in history where he lived. Because in that time in history, it was kind of common courtesy when you went to someone's home that they would have a slave or a servant wash your feet. That was nothing uncommon. And as you think about it being dusty and people walking a lot and all the gnarly things that were probably on the ground, they probably did it as much for sanitary reasons as they did for hospitality. But you would never find the head of the household washing the feet of his guests. That just didn't happen. That's what a servant's job was. That's what a slave's job was. That was not the job for the head of the household. And so here's Jesus having dinner with his disciples, the people who are following him. He was their teacher. And in the midst of that, he does this amazing thing of taking his own garment and getting down and washing the feet of his friends. And as you think about that image of serving your friends, that's a powerful illustration that we just can't escape. And so as I look at that, I ask myself, am I approaching my friendship with Rob? And have I approached friendships in general as opportunities to serve? Well, if I'm honest, and I don't think I'm the only person in here like this, I tend to use the return on investment model in terms of how I spend time with people. I don't think I'm the only person that does that. Quite honestly, I think this goes back to school and elementary school. I mean, who wanted to hang out with the outcast? Who made an intentional decision to hang out with the guy that was labeled a nerd? Not many of us. And when we get older, we just get more savvy about what we call it, and then we call it networking, you know? It's build your network of people who help you be the person that you can be. I think we all can fall into that trap. I told you when I met Rob, I met him at a time when I needed friendship and I needed an opportunity to connect in the city. And so while I didn't use him just for that, there was certainly a benefit. I'm not going to lie. There was a benefit in that relationship that I received. So as I think about my relationship now with Rob, I'm really challenging myself to say, what am I doing for no other reason than just to serve him? What are those things in our relationship that are opportunities for me to serve him? One of the things I think about is Rob is really engaged at his church, and particularly with the young men at his church. He does a lot with them. And I'd say over the last year, there's probably been 4 or 5 opportunities for me to serve with him in that environment, to kind of help him along with some of those things. And I did it once. I did it once, and it was an Indiana Pacers game. So I guess that probably wasn't much of a sacrifice on my part. That was really a good time. But, you know, helped him out once. He needed a driver, and I did that. But as I think about that, that's something he's passionate about. And if my friend is passionate about that, I need to find ways to come alongside and serve him in that particular arena. And it's different in every friendship. Maybe some of you have friends who are about to move, and they just need you to show up and carry boxes. I know I've had friends do that for me. It may be something very practical. Your friend may be going through a tough time, and they just need a shoulder to cry on. That might not be your deal, but they may need you. They may just need your time. But this idea of serving our friends is one that I know I need to make a choice about. So if I'm going to really live out authentic relationship with Rob, I need to be intentional, because the current will take us toward isolation. It will not take us toward relationship. I need to be vulnerable, and I need to continue to have levels of sharing with him, not just the things where I'm falling short, but what are the things I'm afraid of? What are the things where I'm hurting about? And I need to serve him. I really need to find opportunities to serve him. So I've talked a lot about Rob. I've talked a lot about my relationship. My question for you is, what about your relationships? Who are the people in your life that, as I'm sitting here talking about Rob, you're like, gosh, man, I need to make that phone call. I know I need to call that person back. I know I need to invest. I know it's time for our relationship to go to a different place. Who is that for you? Over the next 4 weeks in this series on hard work, we're going to lean into this idea of hard work in relationships, and we're going to camp out here for a while. Next week is one you absolutely do not want to miss. Kevin Myers is going to be with us, and Kevin has just a tremendous analogy he uses for our relationship with God and how it filters out into our relationship with other people, using the analogy of a baseball diamond. He calls it the diamond life, and you just don't want to miss it. It's one of those where literally on Monday, you'll be writing it on the back of a napkin and showing it to somebody. You really want to be here next week. But as we continue to engage in this environment on the hard work of relationships, I've got a request or an ask of everybody in here. Because like I said, I think everybody, there's some place that all of us can land on this, and there's something we can do about it. But I think there are really two people in here. I think there's one group of people, and as I'm talking, you know that there's a relationship that you have where you need to invest. And maybe the choice you need to make is raise the level of intentionality and just be intentional about making sure that person isn't the first thing to fall off the calendar. Maybe in that relationship, there's an opportunity to raise the level of vulnerability. You know, there may be some of you in here who have friends who go way back. Well connected, you guys hang out a lot, but you really haven't gone beneath the surface. Maybe you've never talked to them about the questions you have about God and what you're experiencing here. And it may be an opportunity to go a little bit deeper in that relationship. And I recognize that's risky. I'm not saying go out and share your deepest, darkest secret with someone. But what I am saying is think about where you are in that relationship and what might be a next level of vulnerability that you could go to in that relationship. Or maybe like me, you've really been thinking about your friends with a return on investment model in mind, and you just need to find a way to just serve somebody for the sake of serving them without wanting anything in return and doing that for a close friend. I think that's one group of people, and I think the choice you need to make is to invest in one friendship in that way. I recognize, though, there's also a second group in here, and that group is hearing this very much like I would have 5 years ago before I met Rob. And I think the response that you could have right now, which is a realistic response, it's honest, is, hey, Chuck, you know what? I'm new to the city. Maybe it's my first time here at Crossroads. And I already knew I was alone before you sat up here and told me about that for the last 30, 40 minutes. I really didn't need you to remind me of where I was. Recognize that's not where I want to be. And I think we all find ourselves there for a host of reasons at different places in our lives. For you, I want to encourage you. Because if this is your first time, maybe it's your 31st time coming here, every week, folks like Greg get up and talk about community life and talk about ways to get connected beyond what's going on this weekend. And if you're like me, when I first came here, I would take a look at those things and say, man, that sounds like a really good idea. Wow, I think I might like that. Habitat for Humanity? I could get on that. I could be about that. But somewhere between hearing it and leaving, I lost the idea. Where I'd already explained away why, no, I can't make that work for my schedule. And so for you, the encouragement might be intentional about putting yourself in positions where you can build friendships. Be intentional about doing that. And I recognize that's going outside of your comfort zone. It was for me. I also recognize that this isn't a guarantee. You know, I can't say, hey, you go to the Reds game, you're going to make a friend like I did with Rob. I can't say that. But what I know is you're wired for relationship, and it takes intentionality. And so no matter where we are, there's a choice we need to make. And I include myself in that decision and in that discussion. I met with Rob a couple weeks ago, and we sat down and talked about where we were. And we made some choices around schedule. We made some choices to really be intentional with each other. And so, just like you, I'm on this journey. But I recognize that this is what God's desire is. That his desire is that we would be defined by authentic relationships. That's a big part of how God wants to speak to us and how he wants to grow us and encourage us. So what I want to do is pray for all of us. Me, I want to pray for all of you, that God would just help us to see what's the next step that we need to do coming out of today. Let's pray. God, I think about the song that we started with today, that you make all things new. And God, you have an amazing power to redeem. And maybe there's some relationships that need to be redeemed. There's some connections that need to be rekindled. God, I don't know where everybody is today, but I do know that your desire for everyone in here is that they would have authentic relationships. And I also know, God, that you want us to engage the same way with you. That as we're intentional about seeking you, as we're intentional about being vulnerable about our questions, our concerns, our thoughts, our fears, that you'll speak to us and you'll meet us where we are. And so, God, I just ask for everyone in here, you would help us take what we've heard today and then go act on it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hey, you guys have a great weekend. Go out there and engage in relationships. Goodbye.